How many of you feel the presence of God in here right now? Oh, praise God. The children, you are released for Children's Church. Have a wonderful time with Andrew and Allison down there. Hallelujah. If you have your Bibles, open them up to Isaiah chapter 9. Oh, I got a lot to say. I got some nuggets I'm going to drop on you. So if you're taking notes, you're going to want to jot a few of these down, all right? Isaiah 9. 6-7. Oh, it's so refreshing today, isn't it? What a refreshing time of praise and worship. I love that. Isaiah 9, 6-7. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. And his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, underline it, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and upon his throne, upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Sorry, Lord. We're getting back on track. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice. From that time forward, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Today, I want to talk about Jesus being the Prince of Peace. Let's put the spotlight on Jesus. Amen? Let's put the spotlight on the Word of God. How many of you know when we put the spotlight on the Word of God, we are putting the spotlight on Jesus, right? Because Jesus Christ is the Word. So I want to talk about Jesus being the Prince of Peace, all right? And how I want to give you some points that I'm going to talk about here in a moment that are going to be a blessing to you. The word prince, let's start with some definitions here. The word prince means this. It means high rank, ruler, or sovereign, indicating Jesus' inherent power to establish lasting peace in our life, unlike any other worldly ruler. All right? Today, I want to talk about 4 points of where Jesus offers. He offers us peace and influences peace in our life, all right? Now, you're going to see why I use the word offer instead of give. Say offer again. There you go. Listen, the Greek word translated peace means wholeness, completeness, and well-being. Peace is also defined as this. I like this. Are you ready? Freedom from disturbance or tranquility. Say tranquility. Now, the word that's translated tranquility in the Word of God is defined as this, as calm. Or this. Oh, I like this. Ready? A deep inner calm, a stillness, or a security stemming from trust in God. Security stemming from trust in God. Now, if peace is defined as freedom from disturbance, what does disturbance mean? What's the definition of disturb? Disturb is defined as this: to interfere with the normal arrangement or normal functioning of something. Oh, I find that interesting. Let me say it again. Disturb is defined as to interfere with the normal arrangement or functioning of something. So here's why that jumped out to me. Because the normal arrangement or the functioning of something, the original intent of God for every person on this earth is to be in a meaningful relationship with their Creator God. You agree with that? And it is the will of God. It's the normal functioning, come on somebody, or the normal arrangement for His people to have peace in their life. Now, the first point that I want to talk about in connection to Jesus being the Prince of Peace is that He brings peace between God and man through His shed blood. Amen? Jesus was the sacrifice for our sins. That is a spiritual provision waiting to be accepted by every human being on this earth that is unsaved right now. Amen? But it's a present reality for every person that has put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So you can see it's a provision for those who don't have it yet, but it's a present reality for us that do as Christians. Now, when someone gets born again, the enmity, that spiritual sin nature, is taken away in Christ. Amen? What is enmity? What's the definition of that? Man, I love giving definitions because it makes it so much clearer. Listen to this. Enmity is defined as this, as the state or feeling of being actively opposed or hostile to someone or something. Listen to this again. Enmity is defined as the state or the feeling of being actively opposed or hostile to someone or something. It's interesting. James 4:4 says this. It says, friendship with the world is what? Enmity with God. I'm going to talk about that more in a moment. But it means this. Enmity means this. To be opposed to God. To be hostile toward God. That is taken away in Christ. Now, here's what you got to understand about enmity. Ready for this? The enmity is in man toward God. Did you just hear what I said? The enmity that the Word of God is talking about is in mankind, in humans toward God. Why do I say that? How do I know that? Because God is always ready to receive a person with open arms. Amen? The problem is with us, not with God. Because why? Because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Amen? So it's not God opposing us because he made the provision. So the enmity is in human beings because of the sin nature. Amen? That sin nature in our spirit before coming to Christ was a, you could say it this way, it was a disturbance. Come on, somebody. It was a disturbance. It was a hindrance between God and man. And the only perfect sacrifice, that spotless Lamb of God and faith in him, is qualified to remove that disturbance between God and man. And what does it do? It manifests peace on the inside. How many of you, when you got born again, when you got saved, how many of you immediately felt a peace in your heart? There was a peace. Why? Because the enmity in you that was opposing God, that was hostile toward God, was removed in Christ. I like that. Go with me to Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2. Hallelujah. I'm talking about the Prince of Peace today. I'm giving you 4 points of the peace that Jesus offers and how it affects 4 different areas of our life today. Ephesians 2, 14 through 18, I want to take a look at. It says, For he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh, come on, the enmity, the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace, that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. Say enmity. Thank God that enmity is gone in Christ. Amen. And he came and preached peace to you who were afar off and to those who were near. For through him, through Jesus, we both have access by one Spirit, the Holy Spirit, to the Father. So this is saying that Jesus is our peace. He is the only one who can complete us and make us whole. Do you agree with that? Stop looking for another person or any worldly thing to give you peace in your life outside of a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Because it will never happen. It all begins and ends with the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? So if you need peace today, just surrender and run back to the Prince of Peace. Amen? Amen? He will always be there with open arms. Always. In Jesus, meaning our faith in Jesus, causes that wall of separation in our heart to be removed. I love that. So you must abide in that peace. You must abide in Christ for that peace to remain active in your life. That's why I said Jesus offers peace. He just doesn't give it. He offers it. So if something's offered, what needs to happen? It must be received, right? Come on. I'm going to talk about that more about that in a minute. But here's what the Holy Spirit said. Be careful not to fall into that backslidden state with the world, because that can put up a wall between you and the Lord. Amen? You know, if you have an idol in your life, friendship with the world, as James 4:4 said, right? And it says that God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble, right? So, and that's talking to Christians. So just surrender it all and come back to him with humility. Amen? So the purpose of that enmity being taken away in your life, in my life, is to give us access to God the Father through the Holy Spirit. That's the whole reason. Say Holy Spirit. It's talking about relationship. The Holy Spirit cannot dwell in a human spirit, in a human vessel that still has the sin nature on the inside of it. That's why the word says you must be born again, because that's when the Holy Spirit can come in. Amen? All right. So I'm kind of plowing through this first point here, all right, because I'm going to get to something that's really going to drop some more revelation bombs here. But so that enmity had to be taken away in faith in Jesus to be reconciled to God. The Holy Spirit helps in our relationship with our Heavenly Father. Amen? So the first kind of peace that Jesus gives us offers us is peace to have access to God the Father, okay, who becomes our Heavenly Father once we're born again. Now, the second kind of peace, here we go, get ready. This is where it's really going to apply to the Christian life now. The second kind of peace that Jesus, the Prince of Peace, offers is inner peace. Say inner peace. Now, I want to show you something that I seen here that was really interesting. Go to John chapter 14. John chapter 14, verses 25-27. I read this when I was writing my message, and something jumped out to me that I'd never seen the flow of it before like this. I think it's going to be a blessing to you too. All right, John 14, 25-27. Jesus said these words. He said, "These things I have spoken to you while being present with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." All right, so here we go. Ready? Say, I'm listening. Jesus told the disciples and us now as well. He said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives." All right? Jesus was saying that this peace he was making available to us has nothing to do with the natural realm, and it has nothing to do with fleshly things, all right? It has nothing to do with how your life is going. It has nothing to do with the circumstances in your life. You understand? Jesus was saying that this is a spiritual provision that the world and those on the outside cannot and will not understand or comprehend, all right? It's a spiritual blessing. It's a spiritual provision. It's a, as the word says, it's a peace that what? Passes all understanding, okay? So listen to this. Here we go. Jesus said, Peace I leave and peace I give. And then he goes on to say this. This is interesting. So he says, I leave peace, I give peace. But then he says something that makes you wonder, what? Doesn't this seem kind of like the opposite? He said, let not your heart be troubled, and neither let it be afraid. You see what I'm saying? That kind of seems like the opposite things. What do you mean, Jesus? I thought you're leaving it and you're giving it. What do you mean that don't let it, you know, be troubled or let it be afraid? So what's going on here is this. That provision of peace must be received. Say received. It's not going to happen automatically in our heart, especially in the trials of life. Amen? It takes our cooperation. Notice when Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. That means the control of that is up to who? Us. It's up to us. Amen? From what I see in that passage, there are two parts that must be active in connection to receiving that peace that Jesus is offering. Ready for this? The first thing is that you must receive the ministry of and have a personal relationship with, ready? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. If you take the Holy Spirit out of the equation in your life as a Christian, there's not going to be any peace. You're constantly going to fall into the flesh. You're constantly going to fall into fear and anxiety. Amen? But that can happen while the Holy Spirit's there too. Because it's your choice, what you're choosing. You'll see in a moment. So the first thing is you must have a relationship. Be aware of the Holy Spirit on the inside. Secondly, you must value the words of Jesus and that the Holy Spirit is trying to teach you and what the Holy Spirit is trying to teach you and bring to your remembrance. You must value, you must receive and draw peace and strength from the Word of God. That is why the Holy Spirit is teaching you and bringing it to your remembrance. The Holy Spirit's job is this, ready? He's always trying to lead you back in to peace. He's always trying to lead you back into faith. He's always trying to lead you back into that joy. Come on, he's always trying to lead you back into the will of God. Amen? So in Hosea 4:6, God said, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. A lack of knowledge of the Word of God. The Holy Spirit is trying to prevent us, ready, from being destroyed. He's trying to protect us from being destroyed. I want you to notice that the order that Jesus gave in verse 26, listen to this. He said the Holy Spirit would teach us all things in connection to the Word of God, and bring those things in the Word of God, Jesus' words, to our remembrance, right? He's going to teach us, and he's going to bring the Word to our remembrance. Teach us the Word of God and bring it to our remembrance. That's what the Holy Spirit is doing. Here's what he's reminding us. Ready? Listen to this. The Holy Spirit's trying to remind us, here it is, of what he taught us. I've never seen this before. So he's trying to remind us. He's going to teach and remind. Teach and remind. So he's reminding us of what he taught us. Oh, this is good. The Holy Spirit is our helper. He's our teacher. Amen? The point I'm trying to highlight here is the Holy Spirit will teach us, and he will bring to remembrance, again, those things that he taught us, okay, when we were in a situation that we need to remember, a situation he pulled us out before that we need to remember to get us through the present trial. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. And that should manifest a peace in our heart, manifest peace in our thought life. The peace that Jesus is offering Christians is in connection, ready, to our ability, our willingness, our awareness, and the attention given to the Holy Spirit that lives on the inside of us. Our awareness, ready for this, of the supernatural teacher that lives on the inside. We're always trying to figure things out on our own. Why aren't we praying about this and being silent? Be calm and wait for an answer. Wait for some kind of a direction on the inside. The problem is this, we're always running ahead of the Holy Ghost. And then it ends up the flesh taking care of something. Are you following me? Without a sensitivity to the Holy Spirit, you will never partake and benefit from the peace that Jesus is offering us as Christians. The Holy Spirit has to be in that. So do you see in that? Do you see that in that passage? Do you see the connection there? The flow of what Jesus is saying in connection to the Holy Spirit and receiving peace. Do you see what I see? All right. So I'm talking about receiving and activating the peace that Jesus is offering us on the inside, in our heart, in our soul, in our mind, in our thought life. That's where we need peace, right? It's our thought life, right? It's our thought life where we go crazy, correct? That in our thought life, that's where we're in a tizzy, right? I mean, the reason we're always in this anxiety and fear mode because we're thinking about the wrong things too much. Amen? So we must be aware of and open to a relationship with the Holy Spirit to live and walk in that level of inner peace that Jesus is offering us. Now, my third point ties right into this inner peace. In fact, it really is part of it, but I'm pulling something else out here that I want to talk about. And I want to talk about freedom from fear. Say fear. All right, it's the same school of thought as my second point, but the Holy Spirit gave me some points to share with you that I believe is really going to help you. Amen? All right, so Jesus gives us an opportunity to live free from fear. You agree with that? He gives us, 2 Timothy 1:7 says this, that God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and of a sound mind. Now, that doesn't mean some Christians say, well, then I should never have that, right? No, the Holy Spirit said this. He said that verse is simply saying in addressing this fact that fear is not from God. That's all that's saying. Are you following me? God is saying, I have nothing to do with that in your life. So you can know that it's not from him, so you can actively fight against that thing. Amen? You don't have to surrender to that fear. You don't have to surrender to that anxiety. The Holy Spirit really wants me to drive this point home to you today. Ready? The peace of God is not dependent upon, again, the circumstances on the outside. It's totally independent of circumstances around us. Peace is what happens on the inside of us. Amen? That's why you can be in a horrible situation, but don't let that situation get on the inside of you. Amen? The real flex, listen to this, the real flex, the real power of the peace of God is that it can be active even when the kingdom of darkness is throwing all of hell at you on this earth. And the devil hates that. The devil hates that. He's trying to get you off balance. He's trying to instill that fear and anxiety, is he not? Come on, so we can know in the worst of situations, we can have peace. You gotta understand that. You need to acknowledge that on the inside right now. You got to acknowledge it. So it has nothing to do with what's going on around you. Okay, get ready. Got some more keys for you here. Here's the key to tapping into that peace, along with being aware and sensitive to the voice, to the promptings, to the pictures that are flowing in your imagination or spirit, man, from the Holy Spirit. You must, follow me now, listen, you must ignore, you must reject the temptation to feed into and focus on any negative possibilities in any situation that you're going through. You have to ignore and not feed into any negative possibilities, all right? Now you can see, now what are we doing? We're stepping into faith now. Isn't that what faith is, right? The moment you make yourself aware of the possibility of a negative outcome, listen to me now. This is where the rubber hits the road when you're going through a trial in your life. The moment you make yourself aware of the possibility and meditate on that, of a negative outcome, and you continue to go down that path, the amount of time that you spend meditating on fear in that negativity, it will take more effort to get you back to the provision of peace. Did you just hear what I said? The longer you feed into it, the longer you focus on it, the more you meditate, you're walking farther and farther and farther away from where you should be, the peace. Amen? Don't worry, we're going to get you back there. All I'm saying is we got to stop that negative cycle. Amen? We got to stop that. It's not a hopeless situation. We just got to stop that negative cycle because now we got a little bit more that we got to punch through to get you back. Amen? The Holy Spirit gave me this example to share with you today. Listen to this. Let's say you're walking through the woods on a trail, all right? It's a beautiful day, wonderful day. There's not a care in the world. There's no worries in your heart, no worries in your thought life. You're focusing on the beautiful scenery around you. But all of a sudden, you turn around and you see a snake chasing after you. And after you see this thing, you start to get freaked out. Now, I get it. I hate snakes, too. I hate snakes. But here's what the Holy Spirit's trying to get across. My point is this. You got to catch this. As long as you weren't aware of the snake following you, you were at total peace and enjoying life. Yeah. Mm. Did you just hear what I said? My goodness. Man, I could just camp out on that right there. My goodness. Wow. Think about that. The moment you became aware of that snake slithering behind you, all the peace, all the joy you had, it was replaced with fear and negativity. The key, let you catch this, the key to maintaining faith and peace is this. Stop making yourself aware of anything less than God's best and will for your life. Stop making yourself aware of it. Peter was doing great and at peace walking on the water until he became more aware and focused on the storms and the waves more than Jesus. But he indeed did walk on water, did he not? Now, so this is why I hate it when doctors give someone a life sentence. Did you just hear what I said? This is why I hate when a doctor says, well, you only have such and such time to live. Because what does that do now? It makes them more aware of that negative outcome. Now the person gets caught up in fear and focusing on this thing. Doctors need to just shut their mouth and let the person between them and the Lord deal with that thing. Amen? Don't allow that curiosity. Come on, doc, just tell me how long. Don't do it. Believe God. Amen? Now, let me show you something that ties into that. Because I had an uncle back in the 80s, my dad tells me the story. He's my Uncle Al, he had cancer. And the doctor told him, you got 6 months to live. Would you know, he died to the day of 6 months of what the doctor said. Be very careful what you are being made aware of and what you're focusing on. Romans 4, go with me. Romans 4. Don't do it. Don't give in to that emotional trap of the enemy, because that's exactly what it is. It's an emotional trap. This is warfare. Say warfare. This is a warfare of the mind. The battlefield of the mind, as Joyce Meyer says in her book, right? Romans 4, 19 through 22. I mentioned this a little while back, but it fits so well in this message here. Romans 4, 19 through 22. And not being weak in faith. So if he wasn't weak in faith, what does that mean? He was strong in faith, all right? He didn't, why? Here gives some characteristics of strong faith, ready? He did not consider his own body, Abraham, he did not consider his own body already dead since he was about 100 years old and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God and being fully convinced that what God had promised, he was also able to perform. And therefore, it was accounted to him for righteousness. God liked that, obviously, did he not? Now, here's the deal. Listen to this. The Word of God says it this way in connection to Abraham and Sarah's situation. Ready for this? Don't miss it. Remember, we're talking about not becoming aware. Don't make yourself aware and focused on holding on to something negative. Abraham, it said, did not consider. Say Abraham didn't consider. I like that. I like that. Abraham did not consider his own body already dead and the deadness of Sarah's womb. The word consider, listen to the definition of consider. Are you ready for this? The word consider is defined as this: to think carefully about something, typically before making a decision. Or it also means this. Let's go a little deeper with the Bible. This is the Greek definition, or from the Greek word, the definition. Ready? It means to consider something means to deeply reflect on, to examine carefully, or to ponder on. I don't know about you, but I see the word focus in that. Amen? Now, Abraham didn't think carefully about, he didn't deeply reflect on, he didn't examine carefully about the negative natural facts that were opposed to the promise of God. He put God's word, listen, he put God's truth above natural fact. He put God's truth above natural fact. Now, Abraham did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief. It said, but he was strengthened in faith. Say, strengthened in faith. How? By giving glory to God. He was verbalizing his faith in God constantly, giving glory to God and being fully convinced, or the King James says, fully what? Persuaded. He was fully influenced. Oh, I like that word. He was fully persuaded what God had promised, he was also able to perform. Now, our lesson is this: consider nothing. Don't focus on, don't make yourself more aware of the hindrances in the natural realm more than the promises in the word of the living God. That's the lesson we need to take away from this. I'm talking about, by the way, the Prince of Peace this morning. Ha, glory. The moment you consider or become more aware of the limitations and the dangers in the natural realm, the deeper you reflect on those limitations, the deeper you meditate, think about those things, the moment that your faith shuts down and fear, doubt, and unbelief enters your heart. Now, remember this. The reason the Holy Spirit is teaching you from the Word of God, he's teaching, he's your teacher, amen? The reason the Holy Spirit is teaching you the Word of God and bringing it to your remembrance is to keep that in your awareness, come on, more than the negative circumstances in the natural realm. That's why he's doing it. So that's why we call the devil a flesh devil. He's always trying to get to your flesh. He's trying to activate your flesh. Fear, anxiety, worry. How am I going to do this? Stop. Take it to prayer to the Lord. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. And wait on him for him to work things out or to give you direction on how to respond. Amen? You might not even have to do anything. Or there might be an action the Holy Spirit gives you to do that will bring breakthrough. Either way, wait on the Lord. During Jesus' earthly ministry, when ministering healing to people, Jesus was constantly, if you'll read the Gospels, you'll notice Jesus was constantly trying to shift the person's, come on, awareness back to him and God's ability through him to heal, away from the problem. Amen? That is why Jesus would ask people questions to try to locate their awareness, locate where their thought process was at, trying to locate where their focus was, where their faith was, by asking people this: do you believe I'm able to do this? Do you want to be healed? According to your faith, let it be according to your faith, be it unto you. See, your awareness and your focus determine whether faith or fear is active in your heart. I can't get away from the word awareness. And the Holy Spirit always takes me back to that example when you were just walking down that trail. You were enjoying life. Not a care in the world. Life is great. And you look around and see the snake slithering. Now you are aware of it. Now you're freaking out. Now you're hearing Pastor James scream like a little girl running down that. I'm not ashamed. We're all human, right? Come on, give me some grace. No. Listen, but you see what I'm saying? That awareness shifted everything. That awareness shifted everything into the negative. If you have fear about something in your life right now, shift your awareness. Shift your focus back on God, back on his promises in the Word of God. Even when you don't feel it, you still put, listen, you put God's Word over your feelings. God, I made too many mistakes in my life. You know, I ask people, well, I mean, did you confess it to the Lord? They say, yeah, but I still don't feel it. And I say, that's where faith comes in. Whether you feel it or not, if you confessed it, you put it under the blood, it's a spiritual reality. Did you just hear what I said? No matter how you feel. Yeah, I know, but Pastor James, it was so bad what I did. I don't care. Are you saying that Jesus' blood is not strong enough to wipe that thing away? Give me a break, right? So faith operates and is active. Listen to me. Faith operates and is active in a heart that's filled with the peace of God. Go with me to Psalm 61. Psalm 61. Is this ministering to you today? Yes. Now, look at this. Psalm 61. Psalm 61. I got some passages I want to go over here with you before we close this thing out. Psalm 61, verses 1 through 4. Oh, this is so good. And it says this. The psalmist said, hear my cry, O God. Attend to my prayer. From the end of the earth, I will cry to you. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. That one verse, I just felt the anointing hit me. Lead me to the rock that's higher than I. I like that. For you have been a shelter for me, a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in your tabernacle forever, and I will trust in the shelter of your wings. Selah. You know what that word Selah means? It means meditate on that thing. Meditate on that fact. See, when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me back. Say, lead me back. Lead me back to the rock that is higher than I. The Holy Spirit will always try to get your attention to lead you back to the rock. Come on, did you hear what I said? The Holy Spirit, if you're going through a trial, a situation, you're feeling out of control in your life, the Holy Spirit's always trying to knock on your heart, get your attention, get your awareness to lead you back to the rock, back to God, back to the promises in the Word of God that is higher than us, to lift us above the troubles and the attacks of the enemy, to give us peace on the inside. Back to an emotional state of peace. Because here's what the Holy Spirit said, and you all know it just as well. Ready? Nothing good comes out of a panic mode. Only confusion. That's why faith can only be in and grow in an emotional state of peace. Did you just hear what I said? David was emotionally overwhelmed. He shifted his awareness and focus on the wrong things, obviously, for a time. And he was feeling overwhelmed. Would you agree with that? But here's one thing that David always knew. He knew who to run back to. The only one that could truly help him, and that was God. I want you to notice what helped David to shift his awareness and focus back on God as his only true source of help. Are you ready for this? Listen to this. This is key. And we kind of touched on it at the men's ministry meeting yesterday, which was amazing. Amazing men's ministry. Listen to this. If you haven't been there, come on out. Amen? Listen to this. It says, for you, underline it, have been a shelter for me. For you have been a shelter for me. What's the point I'm trying to bring up? It's this. David was remembering the past faithfulness of God to draw strength and peace for the present and the future. Did you catch that in that verse? For you have been. David's remembering something. And I'll tell you right, oh, hallelujah. The Holy Ghost said, that was me reminding him. Because the Holy Spirit's the one that brings these things to our remembrance. Think about it. When we get in such a tizzy, when we get in such a state of panic and fear and anxiety, it's hard on our own to get it, right? That's why we need the Holy Spirit to plant that thought in our spirit. The Holy Spirit said, that was me reminding David. And David, listen to me. Oh, hallelujah, Holy Ghost. Listen to this. He said, David was sharp enough to hear my voice when I was reminding him. And he took advantage of it. Remembering past situations when God showed up and delivered you will shift your awareness and focus back on God. It will put you back in a spiritual, peaceful mindset and out of a fleshly mindset. I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost ministers to us more than we even know. More than we even know. You need to pay attention. Sometimes just sit down, close your eyes, and just kind of look on the inside. Just wait. Just listen on the inside. And I guarantee you, your teacher is not silent. Your teacher is not silent. In fact, he's trying to. The problem is this. Many Christians don't know how. Ready? How the Holy Spirit's trying to communicate to them. That's why you need to learn and understand how the Holy Spirit speaks to you. Some people are more picture-based. They see visions in their imagination more. Some people hear words on the inside, and it's more of the spoken, still small voice. The Holy Spirit can minister any way. But what I'm trying to say is each person has more of a specific way that the Holy Spirit might minister to you. You need to learn that. Just like husbands, wives, you had to learn how your spouse communicates, right? You got to learn how the Holy Spirit communicates to you. Amen? David was encouraging himself in the Lord. He picked up that hint from the Holy Spirit to look back at God's faithfulness. Here's what you have to understand. Only you can shift your awareness and focus. Did you hear what I just said? Only you can shift your awareness and focus. And this is what the Holy Spirit gave me to write down. You ready? He said, the Holy Spirit will assist, the Holy Spirit will anoint and use people to assist you, to motivate you, to try to encourage you. But it's your free will that is the ultimate factor that decides if it happens or not. It's your free will, my free will. He put a thought of remembrance in David, and David said, thank you very much. I'm going to take hold of that. Instead of David staying in his pity party. Yes. I think sometimes we as Christians like our pity party too much. And the Holy Spirit's saying, hey, I'm giving you this rock right now. I'm giving you this key right now. All you need to do is take hold of it and ride this thing, man. And it'll pull you out of this ditch. In Psalm 61... David was preaching to himself. He was declaring reasons of why he could trust God. For you, come on, have been a shelter for me. There was a battle. There was an argument, a multitude of thoughts racing through David's heart. Was there not? It said he was overwhelmed. That's talking about overwhelming thoughts, right? He became aware of and focused on the proper thoughts that the Holy Spirit was helping. And it delivered, and it would deliver him, come on, out of the whatever dangerous situation here, whatever situation from the enemy that he was facing. Obviously, it helped. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Sometimes, listen to me, sometimes, okay, a lot of times, you got to start preaching truth to yourself. Sometimes you need to preach to yourself. Just start preaching to yourself. As you preach the word of God to yourself, as you meditate on and speak positive, faith-filled confessions, as you talk about the past faithfulness of God, all of the sudden, there will start to be a shift in your heart, and you'll begin to experience the peace of God that the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ, has provided for you to tap into at any time and anywhere. Think about that. Isn't it good to know that we can tap into it outside of the four walls of the church? Wouldn't that be horrible if the only time you experienced peace was at a two-hour service once a week? The Holy Spirit's a little more practical than that. The Holy Spirit knows the rubber, where the rubber hits the road is outside of these four walls. When you're on your job, when you're looking at your bank account. Are you following me? There's real life that happens outside of this service. Amen. But the beautiful thing is that's where the Holy Spirit stays with you. Thank God that when you don't walk out these doors, the Holy Spirit says, all right, we'll see you next Sunday. And he stays behind. Can you imagine that? Right when you walk out, he's like, nope, I'm not stepping foot out there. Have fun with the week. See you next week. We'll try to put things together within 2 hours, okay? Think about that. But no, when you walk out those doors, the Holy Spirit goes with you. Hallelujah. Go with me to Psalm 46. Hallelujah. Psalm 46. Oh, we're having fun up here today. The Holy Spirit wants to help every area of your life. Oh, it's so good. Psalm 46, it's very short. Let me just read it all because it'll minister to you. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. Though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling, Selah, there is a river whose stream shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. Ooh, just at the break of dawn, meaning God's never late and he's always on time. Amen. The nations rage, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord, who has made desolations in the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariot in the fire. Oh, here's the one we always know. Ready? Here we go. Be still. And know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. All of this evidence in this psalm is given to us for one reason. Fear not. Only believe. Have faith. Focus on the Lord, the only one that can pull you out. God is helping us to shift our awareness and our focus back on him. And then he tells us, I love it, he gives us all of this evidence, right? All of this evidence. And then he tells us, be still and know that I am God. Be still. Stop reacting in fear and unbelief and simply know that he is God. Remind yourself, control and discipline your thought life. Amen? Be still and know. Say that with me. Be still and know. It's that easy. Be still and just know. Go with me to Psalm 23. Be still and know. Hallelujah. You know what? You came into this earth with nothing. You relied on God for everything. Why are you stopping now? Why are you stopping relying on him now? Amen? Psalm 23, we know it well. Let me read it. 1 through 6. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. In the presence of my enemy. Come on, think about that. Not just in the calm pastures. No, he prepares this table before our enemies. Oh, that's good. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This entire psalm is a beautiful picture of the function. Are you ready for this? You maybe never thought of this before. Listen, this entire psalm is a beautiful picture of the function. Ready? Of the Holy Spirit in the life of a Christian. I guarantee you some Christians didn't even connect the Holy Spirit because it's saying Lord, so all you're thinking about is Jesus. But let me let you in on a little secret. Jesus and God the Father are in heaven. The Holy Spirit's down here leading us. So obviously, and guess what? They're all in agreement. They're all in agreement. Amen? It's still God. Amen. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. But this is how the Holy Spirit functions in the life of a Christian. Here it is. Here's what the Holy Spirit does. According to this, Psalm 23. Ready? He leads us and he restores us. Say that with me. He leads us and he restores us. Oh, I love that. He leads and restores. He leads, but we must follow. He leads and restores us back into the will of God for our life. So the key, again, this is a key. You must be in tune enough to allow the Holy Spirit to lead you, number one, right? Remember, he leads and restores. So you got to be in tune. You got to be paying attention. Holy Spirit, what do you want me to do? He's going to lead you, but you got to be in tune, right? And secondly, he restores. We have to have a heart for that restoring to take place, to bring us back into the will of God. Here's what we need. Ready? We need a heart that's tender, humble, and vulnerable enough to allow him to restore us. Right? How many of you know to be restored, you have to come to the place of saying, I'm in the wrong spot. I made a mistake. I'm outside of the will of God for my life. How many of you know that takes a vulnerability to admit that? It takes a humility to say, I miss God. So you need to be humble, tender, and vulnerable enough to allow the Holy Spirit to lead you and restore you back into that place. If you are not aware of or paying attention to the nudges, the promptings, the voice of the Holy Spirit on the inside of you, there will be no leading. And there will be no restoration back into the will of God for your life. Now, my last point, I'm going to close this thing up right now. Almost. Now, my last point is that Jesus, the Prince of Peace, offers us peace that impacts relationships with people in our life. That peace that we take advantage of from the Prince of Peace should impact our relationships with each other and all of those people in our life. Let me explain. Because Jesus said that he didn't come to bring peace. You know, there's a scripture that says he didn't come to bring peace, but a sword. A sword to separate truth from error. Those that are with him and those that are against him. That's talking about the world. That's talking about unbelievers there. The peace that I'm talking about is living our life in such a way that is filled with love toward others and doing our best, ready, to be a peacemaker, ready, without compromising the truth of the Word of God, without compromising, come on, the will of God in your life. Look at Matthew 5, 9. That's my last verse here. Matthew 5, 9. Oh, yeah, peace is good, but not when you compromise the Word of God and the will of God. Amen? Matthew 5, 9, Jesus said these words in the Beatitudes. He said, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God." God is the ultimate peacemaker. Amen? He sent Jesus to try to make peace with mankind. Amen? That provision's available for every person on the face of this earth who's ever been on this earth, who's here now, and who will be here. And he expects his children, us Christians, to do the same, to be peacemakers. If you have the peace of God in your heart, the love of God will also be present. Amen? It will positively affect every relationship in your life. Here's what you got to understand. An ambassador for Christ is a peacemaker. Amen? Now, there's some tables that can be flipped, right? But it still ultimately leads to peace because we're trying to get back to the will of God for mankind. Amen? A peacemaker looks for the best in every person. A peacemaker avoids needless gossip and drama. A peacemaker, really, values relationships in their life. Amen? A Christian that lacks peace in their own heart has no desire to be a peacemaker. Amen? All right? You can only impart what you have. You can only give away what you have in your own heart. Amen? And a lack of peace in your own heart, it will be an unfulfilled life full of drama. Amen? How many, do we know of any drama? Oh, come on, somebody. Remember, let me remind you, peace is defined as freedom from disturbance or tranquility. And tranquility is defined as calm, a deep inner calm, a stillness stemming from trust in God. And a disturbance is defined as to interfere with the normal arrangement or functioning of something. We have been created, we have been wired by God, our Creator himself, to walk in love and to be in a constant state of peace. That's the will of God for you. Amen? That's the will of God for you. We need to live in such a deep level of peace in our life that we are, or at least try to be, ready? Unoffendable. Say unoffendable. We got to strive to be. Now, an offense happens when we allow a person or the enemy to shift our awareness or our focus on negative things or words or actions from somebody else. Now, a pastor or a spiritual leader trying to protect a flock, that's different. That should bring an offense and it needs to be corrected. Amen? I got to throw that in there. But listen, but we need to be, I'm talking about on a personal level in our life, right? We need to be aware and discerning of the tactics of the enemy to avoid those emotional traps on a personal level. Be sober, be vigilant. Those are disturbances, say disturbances, from the enemy that's meant to cut the peace in your heart, okay? That's trying to cut the flow of the peace. Last page, see right here, I got proof right here. It was a 10-pager. So here's what I want to ask you all today as we close. What are you allowing to disturb your peace today? What are you allowing to disturb the godly relationships in your life? Jesus, the Prince of Peace, has made a provision, but you must receive that peace. And not just receive it, but ready? You need to steward that peace in your heart. Amen. When you begin to get overwhelmed and you feel that peace slipping away, step aside, preach to yourself, tell yourself, remind yourself that whatever is trying to steal your peace at that moment, it's not worth it. It's not worth it. You need to discern the devil's emotional traps. Amen. Your peace from Jesus, from the Word of God, is spiritual gold, and it must be valued and it must be protected at all costs. Amen? Peace in your soul, don't ever forget this. Peace in your soul is health for all three parts of you, spirit, soul, and body. Did you just hear what I said? Peace in your soul, peace in your heart is health, spirit, soul, and body for you. When you have peace in your own heart, it will cause you to be a peacemaker, if possible, with every person in your life. Amen? Not only does the enemy want to steal, kill, and destroy your faith, but along with that, the enemy wants to steal, kill, and destroy your peace. So, church, don't allow that to happen. Church, do whatever it takes. Come on. To get and maintain the peace of God in your heart and allow the Holy Spirit to lead you and restore every area of your life back in the will of God. Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace. Take advantage of his provision for your life, every area of your life right now. Amen? Let's stand up in this place. Jesus is the Prince of Peace, and he offers some great things to us as Christians. Prayer team, come on forward. Now, maybe you're in this place, you don't have that peace because you're on the outside, you're looking in, you're not born again. You've never made Jesus Lord of your life. If that's you, come down to this altar even right now. Don't even wait for me to stop talking. Come down up to one of these prayer team members and say, I need to make Jesus Christ the Lord of my life. If you're in this place, you're backslidden, you've fallen away from the Lord, again, come on up. Don't even wait for me to stop. Just say, I need to rededicate my life to the Lord. And if this message really hit you hard and touched you hard in your heart, really pricked your heart, and you have not been living in that peace, you've gotten caught up in that cycle of anxiety, fear, whatever it is, you've fallen into the devil's trap, and you need that peace restored, come on down and just say, this message really pricked my heart, and I need peace in my life again. If you've never received the Holy Spirit baptism, you need it. Did you hear me? You need it. If that's you, come down to this altar. Say, I want to be baptized with the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit baptism is not a Living Waters Chapel thing. It's not a charismatic thing. It's not Pentecostal. It's a Bible thing. Amen? And the Holy Spirit, you need to be equipped with everything that God has for you because we are in a battle on this earth. Amen? And so if you need prayer for anything else, a healing, a family member, they will be here to pray with you. Everybody, have a blessed week. We will have service on Wednesday. And there's no snow in the forecast, is there? What a weird month this has been. Amen. Huh? Oh yeah. Make sure you sign up for the luncheon for next Sunday. Don't leave here until you put something on that paper because there's no other time. Really, we need to know what you're bringing. So, and we'll have a great time next week for that. Is there any? Oh, and prime timers Thursday. Sign up if you want to ride in the van. What's that, Chris? I see you doing something like this. What's that? Are you making cookies? All right, I thought you were saying something. Also, we are having a board meeting, right, this Thursday at 5:30. If anybody has anything you want to talk to us about, share about, we want to make that be open and transparent as well as leaders. Amen? All right, love you all. Have a great week. You know where to find me if you need me. Have a great week, everyone. Meditate on this word.